The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon with our like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Financing is for a limited term with approved credit on select Cadillac certified pre-owned models. See the dealer for all the details. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, don't miss it. Your last chance to save is now at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. General Manager Brian Danahy has the season's best offers. Lease a 2018 XT5 for only $319 a month with zero down, or get 0% financing for 60 months at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, or shop all their year-round clearance offers. Visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. That's EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, and get all the dealer details from the dealer. Where else would you get them but from the dealer? Offer expires at month's end. Happy Tuesday, everyone, on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports. The man has a cold, the poor guy. Mr. Ira Kaufman of JoeBucksFan.com, Hall of Fame voter, Spectrum Sports guy. He's on there Monday and Friday slugging it out on their sports show on Bay News 9. He's with Fox Sports Tailgate Sunday with Scott Smith every Sunday.
Spectrum 360. There you go.
There you go.
Roy Cummings.
The official name. And Ira, you know, it's funny. I was out watching the Bucks game at a sports bar. Lee DeCamper's on assignment today in Green Bay doing his bratwurst duty before he flies back. And you know, a lot of people were talking about the podcast. And I showed Rock Riley because I turned out, I don't think Rock believed me, that literally you are on the top charts of Google Play podcasts, all subjects up there with the big boys, the Colin Cowards and the Rush Limbaughs. And all these guys. So we appreciate everybody listening on Google Play, iTunes, Podbean, JoeBucksFan.com. Of course, Ira, we just heard all those great offers at Ed Morse. It's that time of year. The bells are ringing.
You know, Steve, I've got congestion, as the listeners can hear today. Watching that Bucks game was certainly no elixir for my woes over here. But then my thoughts turned to, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Tremendous offers. This is the holiday season. Time for giving, Steve. If you don't believe it, show up. Brandon, Tampa, they'll take good care of you. Customer service beyond reproach, my friend. The offers are fantastic, and you better hurry, because they're not going to last forever.
The year does end. So EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Sage, your Buccaneers are 4-8. They are 5-10 since the winning streak, as you note. I'm going to go right to, since your voice might be limited today, I'm going to go right to what's on everybody's mind. And no, not the head coach and the GM. First, Jameis Winston. There's a lot of people who believe that Jameis is not the right guy. They're seeing repeated mistakes, and he's not winning. And are they right? Are they wrong? What's going on here?
One thing we can say fairly, he hasn't elevated his game in year three. Everybody thought he would. Everybody thinks he should. It hasn't really happened. Yeah, the injury short-circuited him in the middle of the season. But he wasn't all that effective before he got hurt in that Arizona game. Looked a little rusty yesterday. Made some plays, like he always does. But, Steve, we can only hope that one day the light's going to go on, and he's going to take that sack. And he's not going to try anything stupid. You know, it reminded me of a Hard Knocks segment this summer, where they showed Winston in Cutter's office. And Cutter was doing a long speech, and I referred to it a little bit in my Monday column, where Cutter's trying to explain to Winston, hey, you don't have to try to make every play. And he then went on to say, Jameis, we got a good football team. He says, we have by far the best team we've had since you've been here. This is Cutter talking in August. And then Winston makes a bonehead play, you know, against Green Bay. Arguably, the play that lost the Bucks the game. I mean, you could argue either way.
Yeah.
But it was a 7-point mistake.
Yeah, Cutter in that Hard Knocks segment, I think the key line was, he said, you're the only guy who can lose the game for us.
He did say that.
And, you know, he went out later against Jacksonville that we saw in preseason when he made a horrible interception. And, of course, he threw that needless pick to Julius Peppers a few weeks ago where he wouldn't take a sack, and then we saw that again yesterday.
His instincts take over at that moment, Steve, and Cutter can talk all he wants, but in the moment of truth, in that split second, Winston reverts back to his basic instinct, which is, I got to make a play. Now, how long is it going to take if that's going to change? Will it change? Buck fans don't know. But it's becoming an increasing problem. I wouldn't call him a turnover machine. Steve, I don't think that's fair. But the turnovers are mounting. The fumbles are mounting. You know, he's not the only quarterback that ever had a fumbling problem. But he does have an issue. They're big fumbles, too. They're big ones. They're taken back the other way. So he's got a long way to go, Steve. He's not playing terrible in 2017. But he's not playing as well as he needs to play for this team to be successful. I'll stand by that.
Yeah, and especially in this division, it magnifies everything. And it's a question is how patient should Bucks fans be? That's really was the core of my question.
And we haven't even talked about the cloud hanging over his head. You know, that's another layer.
Sure. I mean, we won't even go there today. There's no new news, and that is hanging over his head. Who knows how it affects him? I mean, he is a human being.
I don't think the Glazers have lost faith in Jameis Winston. Ultimately, I think that's what's going to count. But he's supposed to be progressing in the third year of the same system under Dirk Cutter. You got the quarterback coach. People are in place. There's been continuity. He's got more weapons than ever before. And, you know, he's been okay. We want better than okay for Jameis Winston.
Let's go to those weapons, Ira, because we saw Cameron Brate. All of a sudden, he gets his quarterback returns. The chemistry's there. Two touchdowns. He's got six on the year after a few invisible weeks with Ryan Fitzpatrick
in
there.
That's going to be two straight years where this guy ends up with eight or nine touchdowns. I mean, that's outstanding.
But here we go. We have two capable tight ends, and Cutter still has not really figured out how to have a double tight end impactful offense. DeSean Jackson, one stat I wanted to run by you, Ira. I don't know if you saw it on JoeBucksFan.com. DeSean Jackson, 7 out of 12 games, less than 40 yards receiving.
Wow.
Who would have thought that? In April, May, June, July, we would have been saying that's unacceptable. You would have said unacceptable.
Nice original research there, Isbits. Nice original research. And you know what? If you just said that in 7 out of 12 games, DeSean Jackson caught less than 5 balls, that would not have been shocking. But it's the production. It's the yards. That's why he's here.
Right.
For the yards. And six, you know, 6, 7, 8 touchdowns. Not getting it. Is that on Winston? Is that on Fitzpatrick? Is that on the scheme? Who cares? The bottom line is he doesn't have his yardage, and this is a guy who's supposed to get between 800 and 1,000 yards as the second receiver to Mike Evans. And by the way, Mike Evans, you know, I made this point last week on TV. Last week, Buck fans saw Julio Jones, and then if they got over the shock of the loss, not the shock, but the disappointment, and they watched the Sunday night game, then they saw Antonio Brown. Now, he went off. You got Julio Brown in the daytime, Antonio Brown at night, Julio Jones. Those are clearly, you know, the elite receivers in this league. That is the level that Mike Evans, Steve, aspires to, and that Buck fans, frankly, think he should be approaching that group, but he's not. He's not even close to those guys in terms of yards after catch, yards per catch. Big play production. Doesn't have it. So while Mike Evans' final numbers, Steve, this year, they're not going to be terrible. You and I both look at each other and say, he's having an okay season. I expect more. Mike Evans isn't doing enough.
Yeah, we all expect more. Now, Ira, I want to point out to our listeners who are looking at you with a funny eyeball right now that you are 10-3 in first place in your fantasy league, and that means you understand fantasy football. You're on top of fantasy football, 12-team league.
I don't have any experience playing. You dragged me into this, but if I'm going to do it, I'm going to compete, man.
It doesn't mean you didn't put in the research and the effort.
Compete.
And you've been competing. Now, Julio Jones, Ira, yesterday, 2 catches, 24 yards.
The same player that torched the Bucs.
Same player. And I told you guys on the podcast last week, maybe Mike Smith just thought, you know, Julio's having a crappy year. One touchdown, a lot of off days. Here he comes to the Bucs. I don't know.
Shame on Mike Smith.
Sure.
Shame on
Mike Smith. But that was really a real kick in the nuts for Bucs fans yesterday, seeing Julio with 2 catches for 24 yards.
So what you're telling me is that in 11 games this season, he's got 1 touchdown. And in the 12th game, he scored 2 touchdowns against the Bucs.
Julio Jones.
Yeah, Julio Jones.
Yeah, 10 games and then the 11-1. So crazy stuff. All right, so Ira, so you're not too down on Jameis.
I'm not overly down on Jameis.
I just wanna...
As long as he gets past this probe. And I'm going to take it a step further. I want to know the details of what this investigation takes. And by the way, I'll say it again. Don't take 6 months for this thing. That's a travesty. That's not fair to the Bucks. That is not fair to this organization. I could wrap this thing up in 3 weeks. But give me a couple of guys. You and DeKemper as my investigators. This thing's over in 3 weeks. Boom, I'm issuing a 14-page memo. But that's not going to happen. You and I both know that. The NFL takes its sweet time. It's not like you got to talk to 47 people here. Find out who that third person was in that cab, if there was a third person, if there was a second person. That's the critical question. Anyway, Steve, I want the details of this probe, and by that I mean it's not far-fetched to think that, it will be inconclusive, and then he gets a 6-game suspension anyway. That's not crazy.
Sure.
But if that happens, I say you ride with Winston, because to me, he's still the future. If the probe shows, quote, beyond any reasonable doubt, Winston is the perpetrator, and did what the allegations say he did, I got to look for a new quarterback. I'm going to stick with that. That would be such a lapse of judgment, an incredible lapse of judgment. If he did it, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I can't trust him going forward. That's my stance on Winston.
So, you're not jumping off the ledge based on his performance. Combat rusty, but his old self showed, and some of that is good, some of that's bad.
I still love his intangibles.
Sure.
That hasn't gone away. The players still believe in him. That hasn't gone away. But I want to see progress. And that's why it's important that he plays the final month.
Ira, Buccaneers, is this a well-coached team?
No, it's not a well-coached team because Dirk Cutter said in August, this is by far, those words could come back and haunt him. Because I mentioned in my column on Monday, Steve, what's going to happen. They're going to finish 5-11, and some Buck fans and some national pundits are going to say and suggest, this was never a playoff team. That's what happens. It happens every year. They try to stake out new ground once the season's over. I told you back in September. That's nonsense. Nobody was saying that. And Cutter wasn't saying it in August when he looks at his quarterback and says, this is by far. They saw my personnel, the talent on
sure.
this team. So when that happens and you go from 9-7 to 5-11, it's certainly not a stretch to say they're not a well-coached football team. Something's got to change in the offseason. It's not the head guy, it's got to be his staffers. There's got to be change in the staff. That's obvious.
Well, then let's take this another step. Ira, for sage wisdom, it's what we look for from you. If the talent was real and it's not a well-coached football team, why doesn't Jason Light have a contract?
Well,
that's the other side of the coin here, right? You just told me everybody and their brother believes this is a talented team. So if the Glazers believe that, if they believed it with their 20-something years of NFL knowledge, then why would you get rid of the GM?
Because Jason Light made his own mistakes. And by that, I mean he didn't address certain areas where the talent is not up to par. And, of course, what am I talking about? I'm talking about defensive line. By the way, people, Calais Campbell had another sack yesterday, 12.5. He might be the leading candidate for defensive player of the year. He's certainly in the mix. There's other guys. There's the Cowboys defensive end. He's leading in sacks. But certainly Calais Campbell's going to get some votes here and consideration. And I'll tell you why. Not only what Campbell does, but the impact Campbell has had on the Jacksonville defense.
Tremendous.
That is the number one defense in this league. Yeah, they got talent. Jalen Ramsey's outstanding. They got some other players. But he's had a ripple effect. And who knows if he could have had that here in Tampa. It's possible. He's making everybody around him better, Calais Campbell. Now, give the Jags credit. They spent the cash, Steve. Not everybody was on board with what Jacksonville did with Campbell. A lot of people thought they overpaid. They reached. They're paying the dividends. They're going to make the playoffs, it looks like. So that's an area where Jason Light didn't address it. Quarterback depth is shaky. And I'll go back to offensive line. And I'm not talking out of my butt here because, Steve, we argued about this. I said they needed a tackle, and Sweezy hasn't worked out in expected fashion at right guard. Offensive line, run blocking until Sunday, terrible. Abysmal. I can spell it. A-B-Y-S-M-A-L. Abysmal.
I'm going to tell you most of it's on the running back.
Well, you know what? You got a better case now.
I'm not saying not 90%, but a lot of it's on the running back. Anthony Becht was very eloquent on radio Monday, Ira.
Now, he's going to defend the blockers. usually.
No, he was very eloquent saying that, wow, Peyton Barber ran much more patiently than Doug Martin, was willing to wait for the seams, was willing to hit him hard when he saw them. Wow. And when he did get hit, when he didn't have it,
he fell forward.
He was going forward. It was a very strong indictment for a guy who works for the Buccaneers.
And there's another knock on the Buck coaching staff,
yep.
Steve. And really, I don't think you can defend it. Now, it might have been Jason's light call that we're going to wait on Doug Martin and we're going to bring him back here.
Sure.
You know, light's got to take his share.
Sure. But it's still up to the coach to pick who plays.
Yes. But 6 wasted weeks for Peyton Barber. That's not acceptable, Steve. 6 weeks, 2 carries, while Doug Martin was going nowhere. I would have given 2 weeks and made the change. At least put him into the mix. Just the mix. And the Bucs didn't do it, and I think it's cost them a game or two, you could argue.
Well, so the light thing, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just was playing the other side of the argument that, hey, if it's not well coached and everybody agreed they had talent, then how do you blast the GM? But obviously Jason's made his share of mistakes, but it is an interesting fine line there.
I think in the terms of D-line, Steve, and I've been saying this for weeks now, you got to throw Mike Smith a little bit of a bone, a little bit, although he hasn't done a good job in 2017. He'd be the first to say it. When it comes to the D-line, Steve, I think it's a question of personnel. They don't have it. They don't have it. McCoy's been good. He's not great this year. He's good. After that big speech in the summer, oh, I went to the Pro Bowl and people told me I got to do it.
Every year he's got a speech, Ira.
He's a good player. He's a good football player.
Excellent player surrounded by poor players, and he's the least of the problems. But people focus on him. We know why we've been down that road. Honestly, Ira, I don't even think you can throw Mike Smith a bone. You got the 31st ranked defense. You folded again late. You have a bad habit of folding late. You're the worst third down defense. You went from first to worst. That means you're not adjusting. It's just bad.
And while I'm throwing him a bone, to be fair, Steve, you got to take another shot at him because you and I were talking about it before the podcast. I'll say it publicly. What the heck is Golston and the right end doing knifing in time after time when you're playing a quarterback who's not hurting you through the air, who you got to keep in the pocket? Don't let him escape. Containment's the word. And 3rd and 4, here he goes around right end. 2 plays later, here he goes around right end, 18 yards. You know, and that was the, was that the overtime drive? Yeah, I can't remember.
Well, it happened multiple times,
yeah,
but
multiple
sure.
Times.
Sure.
And the guy ends up with 66 yards on the ground, which almost matched his passing total, which is, you know, ridiculous. I don't understand that scheme. Where was the containment on Hundley? He's a running quarterback. That's what he does.
Yeah, and to let a backup running back come in cold, bounce it outside for you for 20 yards to close the game out. It's just bad. So many bad things going on here.
And the defense wasn't overextended at that point, Steve. It wasn't.
No, they hadn't been on the field.
You know, Green Bay didn't have a lot of snaps up to overtime.
Yeah, they should have been fresh and hungry and all that stuff. It was bad news. Ira, this team, though, look, you've seen lots of teams good. You know what a good team looks like, all the characteristics. They forgot how to win. Like, they can't close a game out. Buffalo. I'll even get to throw in Atlanta last week when they were driving, first down, going in to score.
They nearly blew to Miami.
From the 19. Nearly blew Miami. Yesterday's situation, choking it out. New England. I mean, the list is long here. Is there any way that Dirk Cutter survives? Because that's what's on fans' mind. Any way he survives if they don't win again?
Well.
This year. Any possible way.
If the Glazers haven't already made up their mind, and I'm not sure that's not the case, that they've already made up their mind.
Wait a minute, you're not sure that's not the case? Help us on that.
I'm not sure the Glazers haven't already made up their mind. You know, let's put it like that, with 4 games remaining. They're going to have a losing record. Let's not fool any ourselves. They're not running the table, Steve, unless that table is shorter than the one we're sitting on here at the park. They're not running the table, so that ensures a losing record. They're almost guaranteed another basement view. How many times can I talk about that basement? I love it, Steve. I don't want to do it. I don't want to talk about the NFC South basement, but they're taking up permanent residence. This is crazy. So, 6 out of 7 years.
All right, so you think the Glazers may have already decided, is what you're saying?
Steve, based on their track record, they don't hesitate to make inquiries when seasons are unraveling. This one's unraveled. Can he save his job at 6-10, 7-9? I would hope so. I would hope so, because I am not fond of replacing coaches every 2 years. I'm just not. I don't think that's a formula for success.
Sure, no. I look, if they win a game or two going forward here, well, we'll see. But if the Glazers have already decided, if they've decided they want to move on, that this is just too ugly for them to stomach, after all the talent talk and that they believed it and bought in, and
then they're talking to the their sounding boards, the people that give them advice or have in the past, they're already doing it. And they're already checking out feelers for different people.
Does that start with a general manager who would hire the new coach? If you're putting the feelers out, does it start with the GM?
The Glazers have a history of picking the coach. They are big on the coach. As much as Winston's the face of the franchise, they feel the coach is the face of the franchise. From a player standpoint, Winston is, without question. The coaching spot is where they come in feet first. Boom. We saw what happened at the end of the 0-1 season. They had made up their mind, and Bill Parcells come on down. Now, they denied it a month later when questioned. And then a couple of weeks after that, they were trying to, they were handing out a sheet saying, Parcells, where are you going? You can't go to Dallas. We had a deal with you. We're trying to squeeze a draft. You can't have it both ways, Steve. I mean, it's obvious. They had made contact with Parcells' representatives. That's the way it happens. The deal was in place. Everybody knows that. There's no mystery about this. Deal was in place, and Parcells backed out. But the deal was in place while Dungy was the sitting coach, Steve. Those are the facts.
Sure.
So what's to say that's not the case here?
Yeah, look, they know how to do it. They know how to do it. They know how to keep it kind of quiet, too. So, and this is a different situation where the coach is losing. Dungy was winning.
And they were going to the playoffs.
Yeah, it just wasn't the situation. Well, I'll ask you this, Ira, because we'll play all the angles. Jameis Winston right now is the quarterback of the 13th-ranked offense in the NFL. That's where the Bucs are, 13th-ranked. If somehow they close this thing out and the offense plays better, Jameis is getting healthier, they put up a couple of big days, and they're the 8th-ranked offense in the NFL. Are the Glazers going to pull the plug on Winston's development within a system just to throw him into a new one? I mean, that's if it is all about Jameis, if you're saying they still believe in their guy, is that enough to hold Cutter a good finish with the offense here where it looks like it's clicking and they're scoring 27 a game and they're the 8th-ranked offense and well, Cutter throws his hands in the air and says, what do you want?
I know this is not your intention, Steve, but you might be making the case for keeping Cutter and making him the offensive coordinator in a certain sense. Look, I don't mean to be facetious here, but if Cutter comes back, and I think there's a chance he can come back, there's going to have to be some sweeping changes. I mean, whether that's a general manager, defensive coordinator, assistant coaches, there has to be changes after a 5-11 season.
I think there's got to be a new quarterbacks coach to see if somebody can get through to Jameis to get rid of these repeated mistakes.
I don't think, Steve, it's not realistic to think Dirk Cutter's going to dig in his heels and tell the Glazers, I'm not making these changes. No, you don't do that. If you have to replace Mike Smith and you stay, you do so. You do it with a heavy heart, but you do it.
Man, he would hate that. Could you just imagine let's step aside for a second. You know how difficult that's going to be for Cutter? And then he's got to find a new guy and blow out the whole staff? Wow.
Steve, Cutter's been waiting a long time for his shot.
Well, you got
to. He's had one bad year, not two.
I don't think he's going to walk away, but it's going to be very difficult.
It's going to be very difficult. Steve, the guy's only had one bad year. This is his bad year. So are we now at the point where a Buck coach can't have one bad season? One?
What about Ben McAdoo? Fired. And the Giants are a conservative organization. They don't blow out coaches like that. He went to the playoffs last year. It's the new trend in the NFL, Ira. It's the new trend in the NFL.
First of all, the Giants are worse than the Bucs. They're worse than the Bucs. They're more of a calamity than the Bucs. They have all the soap operas going around them.
Sure.
You can't blame Dirk Cutter for an incident involving Jameis Winston in Arizona that apparently he forgot or didn't want to tell Cutter about. You can't blame Cutter for that.
I don't think he forgot, Ira.
You can't blame Cutter for that, Steve. Let's be honest.
Look, if someone accuses you of grabbing their crotch, you're going to remember, Ira. That's how you are. You remember those things. You remember a good beet salad. You remember that.
The Giants are a calamity, and the Bucs are just a bad football team at this point. So, to me, that makes a difference. We're going to know soon enough, Steve. We're going to know soon enough. And I'll tell you what, based on history, and this is what Buck fans have to understand, if Cutter's still standing the day after the season's over, that doesn't mean he's going to come back next year. The Glazers have a history. They don't make quick decisions right after a season. Just ask John Gruden.
I think you touched on something very important, Ira, the calamity element. Very keen wisdom there. Sage wisdom from the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports.
You mean you like that word better than abysmal?
Well, no, I think it's important because Raheem Morris losing 10 straight to
that's
close the season.
That's a calamity.
10 straight in a row after a 10-6 year, that's a calamity.
Shiano's second season.
Shiano. Mercer, 0-8 start.
Freeman.
Mess. Terrible offense. Fans are sitting there watching Mike Glennon throwing a Tyquan Underwood. That's a calamity. Lovey Smith, the end of his regime.
Defense, he took it over. It got worse.
He took it over. It got worse. Tennessee ready. They closed the season losing four in a row. After they lost two in a row to close the season, Lovey goes out there and says, actually, it's a new season now. We've already started 2016. We're 0-0. We're going out there to start next season right now. And they, you know, got annihilated.
Family on the staff. Family on the staff.
So
calamity.
That was much more of a calamity. The Cutter situation. Now, I can already hear the people driving around.
We're 4-8, Steve. We're 4-8.
Driving around.
About?
They're saying this is a disaster. Look at all these weapons. But I don't think it's reached the calamity status yet. I really don't.
You're talking about ancillary things that add to the soap opera.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mike Smith's defense, he's not the head coach, and you can still make changes, and they are still playing hard.
Although and they played hard in Green Bay.
And you don't get any trophies for that. I mean, you should play hard, big deal, but it's not a calamity. It's not what happened on those other three regimes. So
it's a whopper of a disappointment. There's no question.
It is. It is, and I think one way Cutter can save himself is that little scenario I painted for you. A couple of good offensive games. Offense looks better. Maybe they get into the top 10. It's tough to fire a head coach with a top 10 offense.
Winston finishes strong.
Winston finishes strong. It's difficult because you know what changing a coach means. New system. Let's say it is Mr. Gruden. Let's say it is. Is Jameis even a fit for John Gruden's system? It's messy. Or are they a personality fit? Well, here's a good question for you, Ira. Just because fans are, not everybody, but a lot of fans are on the Gruden bandwagon. Do you think they're a personality fit? You know Gruden better than anybody.
Well, certain aspects of Winston's personality are very enticing to Gruden. He's a grinder. Gruden loves that word, grinder. Because Gruden, you know, as I said, is in his office. 18 hours a day studying film. And not even to coach, just to be on Monday Night. He could get away with being in his office an hour and a half a day, if he wanted to, and still be very incisive on Monday night. He doesn't approach it like that. His approach is, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to put everything I have into it. That's commendable. His preparation shows, Steve, whether you like him or not on Monday night, his preparation shows. The guy gives you stuff on the, when the backup left guard comes in, Gruden knows about him.
But is his personality one that will bond with Jameis? Are they two guys who will click?
Well, Winston will put in the same work ethic that Gruden does.
That's true, but okay, here we are in OTAs. It's June, and Gruden starts ripping at Jameis. You dumbass, we don't do that there. I've told you three times.
I think he would do that.
Chris Sims knew how to do that after 3 weeks. You think Jameis can handle that?
I think there's a respect factor enough from Winston's standpoint for a coach that won a Super Bowl and turned around the Raiders before he got to the Bucs. I think Gruden's got the pedigree. He's got the gravitas. Oh, I'm throwing out all the words, baby. Gruden has gravitas in Winston's mind, and he's willing to take his lumps under Gruden. I think they could work it out fine. Although, Steve, we have to say this. Gruden's got no history of working with a young quarterback successfully. You know, that Chris Sims thing was very rocky. Very rocky. Gruden didn't draft Chris Sims. That was a McCain move. I don't think Gruden was in favor of it. Next thing you know, he's got Chris Sims. And by the way, they won a division title together in 2005.
Sure. I remember seeing some sort of interview with Gruden. He's like, yeah, they drafted me a freaking left-handed quarterback. What the hell is that? I know Friday you have a little meeting with Mr. Gruden. We'll talk about that on the next podcast. But you and Coach Gruden will be hanging out Friday. Hope you feel better for that one.
I look forward to it. You know, I got an invite, an email invite, and my ears perked up. So I'm all in, my friend.
Yeah, unique little situation there, which is very interesting timing by Mr. Gruden. We'll see as maybe some of that'll come out a little bit more before Friday.
You think I was a little too rough on the boys, Steve, to suggest they did not play intelligent football on Sunday, considering they They kicked the Packers' ass up and down Lambeau for most of the day and still come out with a loss. You're not finishing the job. You're not using your head as much as you are your body. Dumb play, Steve.
That's some bad stuff. You know, Evan Smith's penalty didn't really look like a penalty. That was a killer in that spot. But
bad snap.
You made the team one-dimensional. You still couldn't stop him. Hunley wasn't playing well even, period.
No containment.
That's just not smart stuff.
That's not smart stuff.
And, yeah, the penalty by Smith, he was on the wrong snap count. That's just stupid.
The Winston gaffe. That's a 7-point gaffe. Stupid stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look, you could point to many differences in the game. The Winston gaffe is ugly. I mean, it's ugly. It is one play in a big picture, but it's ugly.
Steve, how are you looking at Light's draft class at this point? You say underutilized, or would you say lots of potential there?
Well, look, Justin Evans has made plays.
Justin Evans is making plays.
He's making plays. I mean, we'll take it. You know, he's 22 years old. He's making plays. His tackling has improved.
His range looks very, very good.
He had, you know, late in the fourth quarter when the Packers kicked the field goal to tie and they had fourth and inches, that's because Justin Evans made a hell of a tackle to force fourth down and get Mike McCarthy conservative there.
When's the last time the Bucs had a rangy safety? Rangy.
He's been fine, and you want the guy to progress. He didn't start as a starter. Now he's starting. He's progressing fine there.
Godwin.
O.J. Howard. When they've used him, he's done a lot of good things.
Pretty good blocker. They said he was, and he is. He's a pretty good blocker.
And he'll get better. I don't think that's a bad pick, although you could say that if you can't use him and break together, then it was a very foolish pick. But that's on Cutter. And, you know, is Cutter using his weapons? Is he using Chris Godwin? I don't know. Not really. But you can't use everybody, but you got to produce. But Godwin's done well.
I like Godwin as a route runner. I like him.
Beckwith's had a very versatile year. Doing a lot of good things from a lot of good spots. So he's been very strong. So it
looks like a good draft class.
If the draft class finishes very strong, just the class itself, as I said on my podcast, Ira, if somehow Light can make the Glazers sit around a table and say, do we really want to go into this draft without Jason? He's done so well. You know, Donovan Smith had a great bounce back game again.
That's right. That's two very good games.
It's two in a row.
That's right.
Two in a row. He had one mistake in that game. I rewatched it a couple times already. Very strong game. They like Marpet. You know, Quan Alexander would help Light, I think, if he finishes strong.
Panfield's spinning his wheels out there.
Panfield hasn't been great lately, but he still has, you know, time to. Actually, Jameis noted in his news conference, went out of his way to say Panfield's got a bad tricep, which I had never even heard before. So, I don't know.
He found great. You know, I mean, he's got arrows in his bag there.
Yeah, a lot of mistakes, but the draft, you know, and of course the draft's going to come down to what a lot of people and the Glazers feel about Jameis. We continue to see all the better success from Goff, from Wentz.
To think they're going to use the 7th or 8th pick in the draft on a quarterback. I can't even think about that.
Well, I'll throw this at you, Ira. If this NFL investigation is not finished by the draft, which would be a travesty, but it's hard to think that it won't drag. I almost think you have to draft a quarterback second or third round.
Yeah, you might be right.
I mean, you got to cover your bases, and you know what's the worst that'll happen? You have an inexpensive backup.
Shame on the NFL if they don't give the Bucs an answer by April. Shame on the NFL.
I think you need to get on the phone to your people and say, you know, let me know what's going on here.
Come on, Roger.
What's going on?
Come on, Roger. That's ridiculous. I mean, come on. Well, what is this, the Pentagon Papers over here? She says he did this.
I know.
He says there's three guys. Go find out what the story is.
Well, you know what? We have Jameis Winston to talk to again at $1 this week. I'm going to ask him if he's talked to the NFL yet.
I think that's a fair question.
Yeah.
I want to know where the probe is.
Have you been interviewed by the NFL yet for the investigation?
If he says, I got to trust the process, that's not an answer.
Trust the process. That was his line last week. What the hell's the process? Jameis, tell us what the process is that you're trusting. I don't know. It's the process. I mean, it's like an Abbott and Costello thing.
Third base.
To steal your vintage there. Ira, of course, so we want to tell everybody to head over to the NFL Photo Store. Find the link on JoeBucksFan.com. That's the NFL Photo Store on NFL.com. It's a legit thing. Use your Joe Bucks Fan code for 25%. Get all your holiday gifts there. Cool pictures of all your favorite players and all your favorite teams. They'll frame it for you, mail it out. Very good stuff. A lot of new stuff on the Buccaneers there, too.
By the way, they've lost 8 of their last 9 road games, Steve. Again, dating back to that 8-5 record last year when this whole town was abuzz because the Bucs controlled their playoff destiny. We got to remember that. They didn't need any help at that point. They lost two road games at that point, and I guess they're 1-6 this year with one more road game to go, which would be in Charlotte, Stephen.
In Charlote, yes.
So they're 1-8 on the road since that point. Not
oof.
That's rough.
Ooh, that's rough. That doesn't smell good.
Including some blowouts.
That doesn't smell good. That's a good number there, Ira. Also,
and winless in the division, Steve. Winless.
Well, this
that
year
doesn't help.
You don't want to finish winless in the division.
In the division looks really bad.
That looks terrible, and rightfully so. You can't do that. Just certain things you just can't do, and expect to be taken seriously. So they got to find a way.
And imagine, Steve. There's a pretty good chance, decent chance, three teams from the NFC South qualify for the postseason. Atlanta will be the wild card, but we'll see in that equation. But, Steve, that doesn't look good either. Three teams fighting and you're in the basement.
And that's my point of this job isn't as attractive for people who are thinking of replacing the job. It's just not as attractive as it might seem. If you want to walk into the bottom of the barrel with three possible Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the division, all playing well, with excellent coaches in the division, I mean, that's a tough spot. You know, I mean, coaches are competitive guys, and they, you know, sometimes there are easier places to go. I just wanted to mention, anybody's interested going to the Cure Bowl, you can get your packages at fanretreat.com at the Cure Bowl. Excellent opportunities there. Get all your tickets and travel needs at fanretreat.com. Can I ask you a couple NFL questions, Ira?
Go ahead, my friend.
All right. Your Chiefs, Andy Reid, gives up play calling.
You've seen my tweets, man. You've seen my tweets.
So,
I'm all over them.
Now we know Dirk Cutter is Andy Reid's one of his best friends in the planet. That's interesting. And so Reid gives it up.
Then the Chiefs put a lot of points
and
on
the Chiefs
point.
Light it up. Alex Smith all of a sudden doesn't look like a problem anymore. And then they stink. You think Andy Reid's in trouble in Kansas City? And do you think that could he reunite with Cutter here? Is that a possibility?
Well, Andy Reid thinks of himself as a head coach.
I don't know what Andy Reid thinks of himself.
I think he should be in trouble. I don't think he is in trouble, but I think he should be in trouble. Now, look, you know I go way back with the Chiefs to the Len Dawson days. This team was 5-0, including wins over New England and Philadelphia. Until Sunday night, they were the only team that had beaten the Eagles. They trounced the Patriots, trounced them, in Foxborough. 5-0. Kareem Hunt going crazy. Alex Smith, MVP prospect. Tyreek Hill going crazy. Defense playing well. Looks like they're not even going to win a division. Here come the Chargers. The Raiders are on their ass. This is a complete and utter collapse. They are so poorly coached right now, it's not even funny. And I believe the end of the Jets game was very reminiscent to the end of the Raiders game, which was a travesty, in that I think the Jets had like 9 cracks from inside, you know, the 10-yard line because of Chiefs penalties. Every time McCown threw incomplete or got sacked, there's a flag, and he gets another chance. This is the second time this has happened in the last 2 months. Terribly coached team. The defensive coordinator, Sutton, who's fairly, you know, he's better.
Is your friend from the Pro Bowl.
My friend from the Pro Bowl. He's doing a terrible job. I mean, I know they're missing Eric Berry. Every team's missing a starter right now. Eric or more. Eric Berry, very good player, but, you know.
Well, you think now I'm going to put back the Bucs glasses on.
So you're trying to get in.
No,
Andy Reid a $1
no,
place?
No. The question, related question is, do you think the Glazers look at that situation and say, you know what? Stuff happens. Things happen. You know, the Chiefs riding high, Andy Reid, Bob Sutton.
Perennial
whatever.
Playoff coach.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the Buccaneers, I know this because I'm pretty – I think it was when I talked to Joel Glazer at one owner's meetings. I don't remember. It's starting to run together now. I'm pretty sure that he said, you know, Andy Reid, when he got to the Chiefs, boom, lightning in a bottle. They were awesome immediately. They were hoping to capture that with Lovie Smith coming to the Bucs, recreate that quick hit with an established coach, and it didn't happen. But do you think the Andy Reid situation right now helps
that's an interesting way to
Glazers have some perspective and say, you know what, maybe we should take a deep breath. Stuff happens with even great coaches.
The problem is that Reed's got a much more of a track record than Cutter.
Sure.
But I understand your main point. Things happen.
But Mike Smith has Mike Smith has a hell of a track record too, if you look at his defenses.
Not recently. Not recently, Steve. The last few years in Atlanta.
As a coordinator.
Well, you know,
I'm stretching. I'm reaching.
Going back 10 years. You know.
Well, people want to hire John Gruden.
But Smith's been in the game since then, you know, almost every year except for the year he took off. You're right. Things happen. But Reed's a proven coach. But I'll tell you what, as an old Chiefs fan, Steve, when you really look back, they've done very little in the last almost 50 years. They've done very little as a franchise. And they were one of the great franchises, you know, arguably the best in AFL history. Arguably, yeah, the Raiders. But the Chiefs, you know, the Chiefs were very successful. I think they won 3 AFL championships. So they've fallen on hard times, Steve.
All the young listeners can Google AFL and find some fun pictures.
That's the American Football League. See, I had one more NFL.
John Gruden, you think he interviews with the Giants? Obviously, they'll be interviewing quickly and addressing their situation early. Like teams like to, the reason you fire a coach early is to get a jump on the process. Does John Gruden interview for the Giants job?
I think if I'm the Giants doing their due diligence, I'm very interested. New York's not too big for Gruden. He's good with the media, I think. He's a heck of a soundbite. Not like this clown. See, when you struggle and you're boring, they'll kill you. Tabloids will kill you. And if you show any condescension, and Gruden's not condescending, you know, he might snap at you. But that's because he doesn't like the question. But it's not like he doesn't know that he's got to do it, or he doesn't know that you've got a job to do.
Sure.
There's a difference. I think the New York media would love the guy. He would want to work with Eli Manning. So he would, you know, I think that would be good news for Eli Manning. But I don't think, ultimately, I don't think it's going to happen with Gruden.
Does he interview with the Giants, yes or no?
No. I think Gruden's got his sights set elsewhere, my friend, and I think I'll leave it at that.
Oh, boy. All right, sage wisdom. Ira, appreciate you hanging in there.
We're back at one buck on Wednesday.
Hanging in there tough. I'm trying to think if there's one last little thing I can throw at you, but I don't think so. I think we covered enough. We didn't even go too crazy on the running game. Oh, last question for you. Last little nugget, Ira. If Doug Martin is out of concussion protocol next week, do they go back and start him?
How could you even ask that question?
Will they do it? Will Dirk Cutter do it?
I got a cold. You're trying to make me feel worse? You're trying to give me a virus over here? Those days are over, my friend. It was tried and, you know, asked and answered.
So you think he's done? Adios, Doug Martin. He's off the starting lineup. He's not in the mix
anymore. Can I put it like this, sir? If he gets 18 carries Sunday and Peyton Barber gets 3, Cutter's out of a job. How's that for a final thought?
All right. And just in case you weren't aware, a cold is a virus. So you already got a virus. Get out of here, right?